Amen. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for that encouragement. And when you said how old your mom was, I realized I could be your dad. And that wasn't that encouraging, but anyway. Thank you for sharing that. We're in Romans chapter 8 this morning. Open your Bibles up. We're going to be all over the place today. And I've gotten as much as I could in your notes. Does anybody need notes? I put tons of scripture in your notes. I couldn't get it all in there, but I put as much as I possibly could in there because we're going to be all over the place. Today, I want to deal with something that I think is critical, absolutely critical to you and I understanding and appreciating and embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to talk about one of the reasons that I believe people don't appreciate and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that, and this is not from God, this is from Chris, but I think that one of the biggest errors in modern day preaching is that in our culture, we want to just talk about God's love and acceptance, and we want to leave out the fact that God will judge sin. We want to leave out the fact that the Bible teaches that God will judge the unrepentant sinner. God will judge the unsaved man. And I believe that that is one of the biggest things that keeps people from accepting the good news. Because they've never understood the bad news. Because we like to take out what we don't like and add in what we do like to appease people. And because of that, we've left part of the gospel message out that we're going to focus on today. Now, if you were here this morning looking to be encouraged, you will at the end. But you're going to have to hang with me because we're going to do something today. Instead of me trying to appease you or tell you what I think you might want to hear, we're going to trust God and we're going to trust His truth that sets men free. Instead of us doing our own thing and figuring out what we think ought to be right and what ought to be wrong and what ought to be said and what shouldn't be said, we're going to take God's word and trust that it is the absolute truth. And when we trust in God's truth and move forward in our lives in God's truth, He's going to take care of the rest. He's going to bless us. And so we're looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 this morning. The Bible says, and this is in your notes as well, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen? The Bible also says, and I put this in your notes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made Him, speaking of Christ Jesus, who knew no sin. He came down here, He lived on this earth, He never sinned, to become sin on our behalf. Jesus didn't just take our sins away, He became sin on my behalf so that I might become the righteousness of God in Him. We've talked about that a million times. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, there's this amazing transition that takes place. The moment a person puts their faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for salvation, Christ takes that person's sin and Christ transfers His righteousness to that person, positionally speaking, before God. Positionally speaking, before God, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He sees you as a saint. The Bible also says in 1 Timothy 1:15, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And these three verses of Scripture are among my favorites, but it's been said that Romans 8:1 is the verse that brings more hope to man than any other verse in the Bible. However, before you can truly understand and appreciate the gospel, before you can truly understand and ever appreciate the good news of Jesus Christ, you must understand the depravity of man. You must understand that word depravity means corruption, wickedness, and perversion. Before you can truly understand the good news of Jesus Christ, you must understand the corruption, the wickedness, and the perversion of man because of sin. The Bible teaches because of sin we are fearful and ashamed. And so what do? We run and we hide. We keep secrets. We try to make people believe that we're something that we really aren't. Put another way, the Bible says that we live in darkness. And so before we can understand and truly appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must understand what the Bible teaches about the depravity of man, and we must understand what the Bible teaches about the holiness and righteousness of our God. Listen to this passage as it describes the holiness and righteousness of God, and I believe this is in your notes, 1 John 1, 5-9. This is the message we have heard from Christ and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. In Him there is no corruption. There is no perversion. There is no wickedness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, continue to walk in sin, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have, listen to this, this is what happens. We have fellowship with one another. What happens when we walk in the dark? What happens when we try to act like we're something we're not, and we wear the mask and we keep the secrets? When we walk in the darkness, we hide from one another. Nobody gets to see the real you. Nobody gets to see the real me, because I've always got to act like I have it all together. I've always got to try to impress you and act like I've got it all together and I have no problems, I have no struggles in my life, and nothing could be further from the truth. Amen? We all have hurts. We're all broken. That's just the bottom line, right? Genesis chapter 3. We're all broken. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, the Bible says we have fellowship, true community with one another. Our kids experience that at Student Life Camp. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. However, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we must come to understand the righteousness and the holiness of God, because then and only then can we truly embrace the gospel. Then and only then can we truly appreciate Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So today we're going to review. We're going to review some things that we've learned in the earlier chapters of Romans before diving into chapter 8. And one of the things that we've learned is that God does condemn sin. Our culture doesn't like that. Our culture doesn't want to hear it. And a lot of people that consider themselves Christians do not want to hear that. But the Bible teaches is that God condemns sin. And before we can truly appreciate the fact that God provides salvation from sin, we must understand what God does to every human being. So let's explore that. Let's explore this impact that sin has on man and all the rest of God's creation. The Bible teaches in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What does the word "all" mean? Everybody. Everybody has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. Everybody falls short of God's glorious standard. Everybody falls short of God's holiness, of His righteous standard, of His perfection. And the Bible teaches, number one in your notes, since the fall, every human being has been born with a sin nature. Write that in your notes this morning under number one if you're taking notes. And so David proclaimed in Psalm 51:5, "Surely I was sinful at birth." Circle those two words, "at birth," in your notes. "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And so while all of us, listen to this, all of us were created by God, Genesis 2 and Psalm 139, which gives us, listen to this closely, which gives us inherent value, meaning that you have this amazing value because you were created by the God of the universe, and no one can ever take that from you. It doesn't matter what they think about you. It doesn't matter what they say about you. You have inherent value because you were created by God, but the Bible also teaches that you've been separated from God by your sin. And the Bible says that God is holy, which means that God is completely separate from sin. And the Bible teaches that God is righteous, which means that He is without sin and perfectly complete in all of His ways. Or completely perfect, excuse me, in all of His ways. And the Bible also teaches that heaven is a perfect place where sin does not exist and will not ever exist. It will never enter in to heaven. That's why you and I need Jesus Christ. If sin, people go, "Man, I sure hope God grades on a curve." I'm like, "Well, it ain't going to do you no good because there's no curve. Jesus made 100 on the test. He came down here and lived a perfect life and He made 100. So from all the times I remember growing up and going through college, the only time there was a curve was when somebody couldn't make 100. So I'm sorry, you're out of luck. God's not going to grade on the curve. Sin will never exist in heaven because then heaven would no longer be heaven, amen? It'd be earth. I don't want to die and go to earth again. I want to die and go to heaven. I want to be with God. I don't want to be separated from God where sin exists, on another earth. And so you can begin to see the complete separation and desperation of man due to sin. Because of this sin nature, we were born like all men, apart from God, completely separated from God, and stand condemned by God because of our sin. In fact, the Bible teaches that we are all by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3 in your notes. And you may remember what we learned in Romans 5. It's in your notes, beginning with verse 12. "Therefore, just as through the one man Adam, sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men." Why? Because all sinned. We all sin and confirm that we're all sinners. But the free gift of salvation is not like the transgression. "For if by the transgression of the one man Adam the many died, much more did the grace," that word grace means you have the unearned and unmerited favor of God because of Jesus Christ. And so, much more did the grace of God and the the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Listen to how inclusive the gospel is. Listen to how inclusive it is. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? Now the Bible also tells us that man is not simply influenced by sin, but that man is literally controlled by sin. See, what we tend to think is well, you know, man, I'm basically a good person. I just need a little help from Jesus. No, you're wrong. You're not basically a good person. The Bible says your heart, like mine, is wicked apart from God. And you have no hope of being with God outside of putting your faith in the saving act of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us we're not simply influenced by sin, we're literally controlled by it, and there's absolutely nothing we can do on our own power to escape it. Which brings us to point number two this morning. Sin places man under the power of Satan. People don't want to hear that, but it's what the Bible teaches. Sin places man under the power of Satan. The Bible says that Satan is the current ruler of this present world system that we live in, John 12:31. The Bible says unbelievers are under the influence of the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. Paul reminds the Christians in Ephesus that there was a time before they came to Christ that they were all under Satan's control, Ephesians 2:3. In fact, Jesus himself declared that Satan is the father of every unbeliever, John chapter 8, verse 41 and 44, and that the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning, 1 John 3:8. So what does sin do to mankind? Let's take a moment and look at just what sin does to mankind this morning. A, in your notes, because of sin, all mankind is born in bondage to fear, guilt, and death. Because of sin, all of mankind is born in bondage to fear, guilt, and death. One of Job's buddies remarked in Job chapter 5, verse 7, "Man is born for trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." Now, those boys didn't get a lot right, but that one got that one right. Amen. Man is born to trouble just as surely as sparks fly upward. And because of sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, all of creation was subjected to frustration, and we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And so because of sin, all mankind is born into bondage, in bondage to fear, guilt, and death. And B, because of sin, all men who refuse God's free gift of salvation will be cursed and condemned at the time of judgment. All men who refuse God's free gift of salvation will be cursed and condemned at the time of judgment. The Apostle Paul remarked in 1 Corinthians 16:21, "If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be cursed." So that begs the question, how do you know if you really love God? The Bible says you know because you live in obedience to His commandments. How do you know if you don't really love God? You continue to live in disobedience. You continue to live in disobedience the things that He speaks to you through His Word and through His Spirit, 1 John. And anyone who doesn't love God will be cursed. And Jesus said in Mark 16:16, He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So what does sin do to mankind? We're born into this bondage. We're born into fear and into guilt and into death. And without this free gift of salvation, without Jesus Christ, we're cursed and we will be condemned, the Bible says, at the time of judgment. And see, because of sin, all men who refuse to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation will be condemned to eternal damnation in hell. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate. What's He talking about there? Enter through the narrow gate. He's talking about Himself. Enter through the narrow gate. Christ is talking about Himself. We live in a world that says you can enter through Buddha, you can enter through Muhammad, you can enter through Joseph Smith, you can enter just about any way you choose. Why is that impossible? Why can you not enter through the wide gate? Why did Jesus say you must enter through the narrow gate? Only through Jesus Christ. Why? Because all those other guys are dead. A dead guy can't give you life. A dead guy cannot forgive your sins and give you eternal life. Only Jesus defeated death. Only Jesus is alive. Only Jesus is resurrected from the grave. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who will enter through it. And then Jesus, teaching His disciples, said this in Matthew 10:28. He said, do not fear man who can kill the body but is unable to kill the soul, but rather fear God who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus is talking there about the second death. He's talking about the lake of fire that awaits all sinners who refuse to repent and to trust in Him for salvation and eternal life. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And Jesus said hell will be a place of outer darkness, Matthew chapter 8, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew chapter 8. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution, dealing out what sinners deserve to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and away from the glory of His power. Put another way, if you choose to live apart from God while you're here on this earth, He's going to grant you your wish for eternity. Now that's a bunch of bad news. But until you understand the truth of your condition as a sinner and the enemy of God, you'll never truly understand and appreciate the good news of Jesus Christ. But this bad news was never God's purpose. It was never God's purpose for His creation. And even while man chose to rebel against God and make himself the enemy of God, God decided to sacrifice His only Son, Jesus Christ, so that man could be saved and once again enjoy a relationship with his loving Creator for eternity. And so the Bible says in Romans 5, 8 through 10, but God demonstrates His own love towards this, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Amen. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled. The word reconciled means to be restored to harmony with God. For while we were His enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Only Jesus Christ can save you, because He is the only one who's alive. All those other guys are dead. They can't do a thing for you anymore. Again, listen to how inclusive the gospel is. For God so loved the world. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Christ should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. And so now, when we dive into Romans 8 next week, you will be able to appreciate it, I hope, like never before. Romans 8 is this amazing truth concerning all who, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, become children of God and inherit eternal life. And it's the people who really understand the bad news who can really understand and accept and appreciate and embrace the good news. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to You today and we thank You for Your truth. And Lord, I know today what I just preached is not popular, not even in some churches, but it's Your truth. And Lord, until we understand that and until we're willing to stand on Your truth and trust in Your truth and quit watering it down, people are not going to want to embrace the gospel. And so, Father, forgive us for trying to appease people and not be willing to share the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to learn to be bold, to share Your truth. And there's going to be people that don't like it. There's going to be people that label us. There's going to be people that do those kinds of things. But you know what? You told us in Your Word that was going to happen. That's part of being a believer. That's part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so give us boldness. Help us to be in Your Word so that we do know the gospel, so that we do understand the gospel, so that we can share it with other people. And Father, we love You, and we thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray these things. Amen.